Amen. God is so good. Amen. God is so good all the time, regardless of what we're going through, regardless of situations or circumstances. It does not change the goodness of the God that we serve. Amen. Amen. And truly we give him praise today. We bring him honor today. We want him to receive all the glory today in the name of Jesus. So today I'm going to be coming from John chapter 15. And I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 8. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And the word reads, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Amen. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Amen. So that was verses 1 through 8, chapter 15 of the book of John. And the Lord is saying, are you connected? Are you connected? Amen. Abiding in Jesus means remaining in his presence throughout the day. Being in the presence of God does not just mean when we come and we assemble ourselves together. But we are all able to be in the presence of God on a daily basis, minute by minute, second by second. But do we avail ourselves to that? Amen? Where you abide is where you live. And you know we have been in Revelation chapter 3, and so we talked about the church of Sardis, the church of Philadelphia, and the church of Laodicea. So you need to ask yourself this question now. What is your spiritual address? Are you living on Hot Street? Lukewarm Avenue or Cold Boulevard? You need to ask yourself this, and not where your physical address is, but what is your spiritual address today? And is your spiritual address only active when you come into the house of the Lord? Because we have the ability to be in his presence daily. But how many of us take advantage of that? How many of us miss God's presence? Because God is always with us. He already established that. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. He said he will be with us until the end of all time. But are you aware of his presence on a daily basis? When you're going about your day-to-day tasks, is God at the forefront of your mind? Amen. And so often we have a tendency to forget this. We go about our activities, we get up and we start rushing to and fro, and we don't even acknowledge God's presence. And we start calling out to him when we meet adversity. But David says, thy face, Lord, will I seek early in the morning. So David was saying, regardless of the time that you get up, that you put God at the first part of your day. That before you start doing anything else, seek the face of God. Because God wants to minister to you. He has words that he wants to share with you, as well as his written word. But God wants to speak to you when you get into your prayer closet. Amen? And that's why it is important to have your prayer language. And if you don't have it yet, don't be frustrated. Just continue to seek God, because the Holy Ghost will give it to you. As you lay before him, he will give you that heavenly language that's so beneficial when you're in your private time with God, that you're talking to God. Your spirit man is talking to the Spirit of God. Amen? But let's not forget to acknowledge his presence throughout the course of the day. We can live an abundant life here. You so often hear Christians talking about what's going to happen when we get to heaven, but Jesus said that I came that you may have life and life more abundantly. So he's saying in the scriptures that if you abide in me, that you can have this abundant life. You don't have to wait until God calls you home. You don't have to wait until the rapture takes place. You can have an abundant life now, but the key is abiding in Christ. You have, and we sing these songs that we live and we move and he's our very breath, but how many of us really live out the words to that song? We acknowledge that, Lord, it's in you that we move and we live and we have our being. But how many of us acknowledge him on a day-to-day basis, a minute-to-minute basis, when you're washing your face, you're offering up praises to God? When you're cooking dinner, you're offering up praises to God. When you're mowing the lawn, you're having a communication with God. Because those acts, and when you do this, your day becomes holy. Those acts become sacred because it's in those times that I'm doing this that God, I'm acknowledging you, I'm honoring you, I'm praising you, I'm blessing your name. Talking about abiding in Christ. Know where you live at today. Don't fool yourself and think that you're more connected than you are. Because you can get up and you can shout and run around the church, but that doesn't mean that you're connected. That just means that you're feeling some emotion. Amen? But how many of our hearts are connected to the heart of God? How connected are you today? And as Dominique was saying, what are we allowing to distract ourselves during praise and worship? Where are you at during praise and worship? Are you engaged or are you thinking about whatever? Whatever's going on in your life. What's in my bank account? What am I going to do after service? What am I going to fix my family to eat this week? What does the job hold for me this week? Where are you? Are you connected? Amen? There are so many tasks and responsibilities before us every day, but how would our day look if we took the time to incorporate Jesus in our daily activity? If we use each activity as an opportunity of prayer? That while you're washing the dishes, you're driving in your car, you're staying in communication with God. Amen? Because we all live busy lives. Now, we need to make time that we can get down on our knees and pray. But in those times that we can't, does that mean that we don't have an opportunity for prayer? Of course not. We need to be praying and staying before God. Do you know what the end game looks like when you have worship and you have prayer and fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Do you know what the end game looks like? It looks like an abundant life. That's the name of our church, Abundant Life. And God says, I came that you may live an abundant life. But you can't live an abundant life with a negative mindset. You can't live an abundant life if you're always speaking negative. You can't live an abundant life if you're not spending any time with God on a daily basis. The word of God is more important than the food that we eat. Spending time in the presence of God, making that time for him. I mean, can you imagine God walks by each of our homes every day and who is going to spend time to talk to me today? To just fellowship with me today? He already knows what we have need of, but God is saying, I want to have this relationship with you. I want to be the daddy to you that maybe you didn't have. And even if you did have an exemplary one, I exceed even that. Amen? So God says, I want to spend this time with you. Are we teaching our children what it means to spend time in the presence of God? Amen? Jesus is saying that if we include him in the details of our life, he will fill our lives with his presence. If we will only include him in the details of our life, he will fill our lives with his presence. And that's what he desires to do. Regardless of what's going on your agenda and what the day holds, Jesus is saying, just invite me in. invite me in. If you invite Jesus in, the anger has to leave. If you invite Jesus in, the frustration has to leave. If you invite Jesus in, the depression has to leave. God is saying, invite me in to the daily activities that you're going through, and I will fill your life with my presence. And we sang that song. What was the song, Dominique? It said, one day in your court. Amen. Better is one day in your court. So you really understand what you're saying. That one day in the presence of God is greater than anything else on earth. Anything else on earth, that one day in his presence, there is nothing like it. And we allow distractions, we allow frustrations, we allow anger, we allow depression to set in, and we miss the very presence of God. That even when the thoughts come, take them captive. That's what the word of God says. Bring them under the subjection of the Holy Spirit. That I don't have to stay here. That I can have this moment and I need to move on from it. I can't stay there. That is not the address that I live at. I do not live in a pit of depression. I do not live with a spirit of anxiety. I do not live in the valley of fear. We want to live in the very presence of God. And the Lord says that if you allow me to prune you, then you will be able to produce more fruit. And we don't understand that pruning process at times. And I remember my husband used to prune our palm trees. And I mean, by the time he got through, I'm like, man, he hacked that tree up. It was ugly. But he was like, in order for it to grow, I've got to prune it. And that's what God is saying to us. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in to do the pruning that's necessary in our lives. To cut out those things that's not giving God glory. And so that you want to be able to produce, I want to be fruitful, Lord. So the Lord is saying, okay, so you say you want to be fruitful. So let me take you through the pruning process. What needs to be cut out of your life today? What do you need to allow God to cut out of your life today? Because God says that if I prune you, you can produce more fruit. And even as I was studying this and I was looking at this message, and I was like, God, you know, thinking about that pruning process, and the pruning process is a painful process. It's a painful process. And yesterday I was in my room and I had, you know, two Bibles open, and I was like, Holy Spirit, just minister to me with these scriptures that you've given me. And I had to look at my own life. And I said, Lord, and I looked at my husband's picture. And I said, God, even in taking him, it was a pruning for me. Because I was very dependent upon him. I was dependent upon his prayer life because I just knew he could hear from God better than I could. So I would go to him, I'm like, honey, I need you to ask the Lord this. And even though I had my prayer life, but it was like, I mean, the way God just spoke to him, it was just so clear. So it was like, okay, I got this question. I need this answer. And for a while, the Lord tolerated that early on, but now the Lord is saying, it's time for you to go deeper. And I said, God, even in this pruning process, we were dependent on him as a church. Because if we said something needed to be done, and I remember I used to resent the church because it took my husband from me at times when I wanted him to be at home. And, you know, I came, you know, today I'm being transparent. You know, I put on my foundation today and everything. And then I came in and Sister Keisha put the photo album, and you all need to look at it because it's so many beautiful memories. And I just boo-hooed crying, you know, thinking about Bunker Hill. I saw Deacon Franklin standing up on the ladder painting, and they had that picture in the book, and it was like, God, you know, why, Lord, why? And I had my little moment there, but then the Lord had to remind me, I've got something still in store for you. My husband was tired. I know my husband was tired. And his desire was to just, he's like, I just want to be able to talk to the Lord. I just want to talk to him face to face. I just want to share things with him. I just want to be able to partake of his presence even the more. And God heard the cry of his heart, and he took him home. But, Lord, in you taking him, you've taken us through a pruning process that was not very comfortable. But God is saying, in order for you to produce more fruit, I've got to take you through this process. Because I've got to get you to lean and depend on me. That I am your source. And that's why I say, are you connected? Jesus says that we are the branches, that he is the vine. One version says that the Lord is the vine dresser. And you think about that. What does the vine dresser do? It prunes the branches. If it sees the branch that's diseased, it takes care of it. And that's what God does for us if we allow him to. And so many are sitting in the body of Christ, and they do not want to go through the pruning process. They want the fruit. They want the reward. They want the benefit. But they don't want to go through the pruning process. They don't want to say, I have to give this up. In order for me to get to this place in God, I've got to let this anger go. It says that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So I've got to let this anger go, whether it be in traffic, with my family, in the workplace, wherever the case may be, in the grocery store, wherever the case may be. In order for me to get to where I want to be more fruitful in my life, I've got to let this anger go. So God, help me in this area. So God knows the area that each of us need to be pruned in. Amen. And so then he will allow situations to occur. Amen. That I'm going to prune you through this situation. And I know my prayer has been, Lord, you know, help me to love like you love. That's a serious prayer. Because everybody doesn't treat you nice. But if we're going to love like the Lord loves, you have to love them regardless. And it's like, God, you know, we pray these prayers not realizing the cost that's attached to it. And it's, God, help me to see you more. And when I ask him to help me to see him more throughout my day, more conflict occurred. More chaos started occurring around me. Because I said my prayer was, God, help me to see you more in my day. And it's like, God, what is happening here? But the more that I prayed that and the more the chaotic events occurred, the more I started leaning and I could see him at work, that God, I didn't snap off at that person. God, I saw that you set that guard over my mouth. You kept the door of my lips in that situation. But knowing the cost that's attached to that prayer, but the Lord says that if you remain in me, and he was telling this to the disciples, and that's why he said, he says that you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you, because they had been in his presence. He had done the pruning in their life. Now he says, now I need you to remain in me. Don't let situations and people and circumstances pull you out of my presence. What is pulling you out of the presence of God? What is pulling you out of the presence of God today? What are you allowing to come in that's pulling you out of God's presence? What is it? Is it a job situation? Is it a family situation? Is it a financial situation that's pulling you out of the presence of God? Because God says that if you remain in me and I remain in you, that you abide in me, that you can ask for whatever you want. Now, the key to getting whatever you want, and people hear that and they get excited. But the whatever you want is in line with God's word. And the more you spend time in the Word of God, the more your priorities change. And they get on the right track. So I'm not going to be asking for something to benefit Marion. I'm going to be asking for something that's going to benefit the kingdom of God and to benefit his people. Amen? But that's the key to abiding. You cannot, and I mean, if you think about it, everything that we're facing today as we're living in the last days, you can't afford not to abide in Christ. You can't afford not to have a prayer life, because where you want to go, it's going to come through prayer. You have to have a prayer life. I don't know anybody that's being successful at life that's not praying. And if you think they're successful by their bank account, look at their spiritual bank accounts. It's dry. Better is what? One day in your house. Without money. Without the things that I want. Without the things that make me comfortable. Better is one day in God's house than all the money in the bank. Than having that so-called dream job. Having clothes don't even have room for. Better is one day in the house of God than to have riches that the world offers. Amen? So the Lord is saying, and let's go back to verse 5. Chapter 15, verse 5. The Lord says that he is the vine. And so often, we try to do what God's job is. We think we can tell God what to do. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Are you a fruit bearer? Is your life producing fruit? Is your life producing fruit? Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to look at verses 22 and 23. Because abiding in Christ, it will make your life more fruitful. Not only does it do it naturally so, you will be more fruitful as a husband, as a wife, as a son, as a daughter. Amen. As an employee, as a boss, when you abide in Christ. Amen. But also it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The only way that you're going to abound in the fruit of the Spirit is to abide in Christ. Because it is not just going to come to you. It takes effort. It takes intentionality. You have to be intentional about your prayer life. You have to be intentional about your Bible study. You have to be intentional about spending time in the presence of God. Because you want the fruit of the Spirit to be flowing out of your life and touching other people's lives, then it takes intentionality. Amen. God says he will give it to you. He says, ask and you shall receive. But what is the key word there? Ask. It takes effort. It takes action. God knows exactly what you have need of. He knows exactly what I have need of. And he can bless us with everything that we need right now, right here. But the Lord says, I want you to seek my face. I want you to know that I am your vine. That you are connected to me. Amen. You have to be plugged in to reap the benefits of the source. You have to be plugged in to reap the benefits of the source. The presence of God is in this place. But if the presence of God is here and your mind is elsewhere, you're not going to be plugged in. You're not plugged in and you're not going to reap any benefits. Amen? Because we usher in the presence of God and when we offer up praise and worship, I don't have to ask God for what I have need of. He's going to bless me with it because I brought him that sacrifice of praise. And because I brought that sacrifice of praise to him, I know exactly what Brandon needs. So I'm going to bless him with that before he even asks me because he understands what it means to worship. He understands what it means to worship. So I don't have to go to God with a whole list of things. Now, yes, we want to intercede for one another. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying those things that's like pressing on your heart that you know that's just like a burden to you. God says that as you worship and you praise me and you bring glory to me, I bless you with those things that you have need of. I'll bless you with more than enough if you know what it means to worship me. Because so often we want and we ask. And then we come into the house of the Lord and we bring nothing. And then we want to blame the praise and worship team. Or we want to blame the keyboardist. And so often we are so in tune with what's going on around us that we're not tuned in to God. And God says, when you come into my house, I am the one that you should worship. I am the one that you should be lifting up praise to. But so often we come and we're wondering about, well, how is Sister Rose worshiping today? How is Brother Hector praising today? And we're wondering how they're doing it, and we're missing it. But yet, we'll go out and we'll tell people how on fire we are for God and how much we love him, and we don't even take the time to be in his presence, to even acknowledge his presence on a day-to-day basis. Amen? Knowing your source, being plugged in. And in that pruning process, some of the things that God prunes us from is time-wasting activities. Things that we get involved in and just wasting our time instead of spending time with God. Now there's always room for leisure, and you need to have it to have a balanced life. I've labeled mine Fun Friday. So every Friday I try to do a fun activity. Amen. Just to de-stress from the week. But God says, I don't want you just wasting your time running to and fro, going store to store, just busy, 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 not being able to enjoy this abundant life that I gave you. So he says, I need to prune some things. I need to teach you how to say no to some activity. And even in the church, we can be so caught up with projects that God did not call us to. And that's why we have to have a spirit of discernment. Holy Spirit, what is it that I am supposed to do today? What is it that you would have me to do today? Learning to seek God in every activity. And then some other things that God prunes us from are bad habits. Bad habits. I told you all before, when I was growing up, I was all into the soap opera. Young and Restless, Guiding Light, I can't even remember all of them. General Hospital, All My Children, yeah. And I mean, and you think about it, and I would sit there, because at that time I wasn't working, and I would sit there from the time it came on, and Edge of Night, you all remember the Edge of Night? And that went off at 4 o'clock, I believe. So from 12 to 4, no activity. None whatsoever. Because it was like, I've got to watch my soap opera, I've got to see what's going on in their life. Getting all caught up in the emotion of it, wasting time. What did the soap operas, how was that bringing glory to God? Getting stressed out. Exactly, crying, all upset, out of stuff that's not even real. I mean, really. And the Lord says, I've got to prune you from this. So God got a hold of me one day, and he was like, no more soap operas for you. He had to take it away from me. Because I would be sitting there, and then Pastor would come home expecting dinner to be ready. It was like the soap opera's on. I'll get you something real quick, you know. Just give me a few minutes. But time-wasting activities. God says, I need to prune these things out of your life. And then we can get so caught up in the emotion of things and, you know, getting caught up in just like yesterday, so, you know, Brittany's probably going to get me, but, you know, I finally broke down and I got her dresser, so Brooms will go deliver it yesterday. So I think she stressed me out from 8 o'clock to the time it was delivered. Well, how are they going to be able to get past this dresser? How are they going to get up the stairs? And I was like, you know what, Brittany, they know what they're doing. Just let them do their job. And she was like, you just going to have to handle it. I'm just going to sit down. And she held Sophie for me to keep Sophie out of the way. And the guys came in. They was like, where's it going? I said, it's up the stairs. They was like, oh, my goodness. But they got up the stairs. They had the thing set up within 10 minutes. And they was like, I need you to sign it. And they was out of the way. But we will waste emotion. And God has given us emotions. But we will waste our emotions on things that's not important. Just let them do their job. Amen? And God is saying, are you plugged into your source? Because if you're plugged in, you won't be so frazzled. You won't be so anxious. The God that regardless of what's going on in my life right now, you got me. that is what the job is going to get done. I have a friend that asked me, how do you eat an elephant? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. One bite at a time. So that huge elephant that's sitting in the room, how am I going to eat it? One bite at a time. Not two, one at a time. But being plugged in to the source. Amen? Plugged into the source. And our source is God. Are we engaged? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way in our life on a daily basis? Or do we just act like the world acts? We just get caught up in our activities and caught up in the things that we're doing. But the Lord is saying, abide in me. Abide in me. We want the Holy Spirit to have free reign. We want the Holy Spirit to have free reign in this place. And so just as Minister Dominique said, you know what? If you want to be reserved, be reserved. That's between you and God. But I've got to get my praise on. God has been too good to me. So if y'all hear me shout out, thank you, Jesus, then you're going to hear me shout out, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I told Sister Millie, if she want to speak in Spanish, let it rip. Because that's between her and God. Amen. But as we see her praising God, it's going to light a fire in someone else. Amen. And that's what it's supposed to be when we come into the house of the Lord. It's supposed to be lit. We're supposed to come in here, enter into his what? Gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. It didn't say come into church. Oh, no, I'm in service again. How long is it going to take? They singing that song again. No, if they sing the same song every Sunday, I'm going to still give praise to God because of who he is. If they don't want to get their praise on, that's between them and God. But I'm going to get my praise on. Amen. That's the mindset that we have to have. That we're going to come into this place and lift up praises to God like it's our last opportunity to do it. I don't have time for singing quiet. Amen. I'm going to open up my mouth and make a joyful noise unto the Lord because he is our vine. He is our source. What kind of offering are you bringing back to him? Because of all that he's done for you, we can't repay him, but what kind of offering are you bringing into the house of the Lord with you? What offering are you bringing? That's what you have to ask yourself. And I, Lord God, I want to bring an offering that's a sweet aroma in your presence. That when you smell it, you're like, my people are praising me. My people are worshiping me. We said our revival, our awakening was ministering to the heart of God. Ministering to the heart of God is ministering to the people. Showing the people that we know what it means to praise God regardless of what we're going through. Amen. Going through chemo and radiation, I'm going to still praise God. My son may be in jail. I'm going to still praise God. My daughter may be going through a teenage pregnancy. I'm going to still praise God. I am not going to let my situations and my circumstances affect my praise. Because we're to abide in Christ. And if we abide in Christ, that's a joyful life. Amen? And that's what God is saying. He wants us to live an abundant life. Recognizing that he is the vine. It says, and anyone who does not remain in me, God says, I throw you away like a useless branch. Amen. No good. There's no need in coming in here if you're not going to praise God. Our agenda means nothing. Our priority is that we want to have an encounter with God every time we step into these doors. Not the order of service. Not that we have to do things this certain way. We want the Holy Spirit to have free reign, because as we invite him in, the aroma of God fills this place and we are blessed by it. And then you can go home and say, yes, service was a blessing because God was there. How many people are sitting up in church today and they're hearing a word, but God is not there? The anointing is not there. The anointing comes to break the yoke of bondage. We sang that song, I'm a free worshiper. Amen. There are people in other countries that wish that they could lift up their hands and praise God. We can do that and we don't. We sit there 1,000 miles away, not engaged, not connected to the source. And some of us think that we're plugged in and we're not. Some of us think that we're getting a spark and there's no spark there because you're not connected. And okay, so another moment of transparency. I was, you know, I had the jumper cables in the car. So, you know, my husband always told me, he's like, don't let the red and the black touch. But I didn't know that they could touch if it wasn't connected. So, I, you know, it's funny because I would have them in the trunk of the car and I would fling one way and fling one another way so that they wouldn't touch. And then I had a little kit and I didn't know how to put it back together. So I lent it out to a friend. You know, she put it back together for me. I said, oh, they're not supposed to touch. He's like, sis, that's only if they're plugged into the source. I was like, oh, for real? You know, I'm 52 years old and I'm just learning this. But then God let me know that some of us think that we're connected and we're not. We're like those jumper cables. You know, the Holy Ghost wants to work through us. But God is our source. Then we want to see these signs and wonders and we're not inviting the Holy Spirit in at all. And we think we're doing something and we're not. And God is saying, you have to be connected to me. Because in the word says, he says, without me, you can do nothing. Without God, you can do nothing. So you think that you're plugged in, and you think about that jumper cable. If you don't connect the cables to the battery, and to a battery that works, that car that needs assistance is not going to do anything. Same with us. We're trying to help people, and we need help ourselves. Because we're not connected. We're not letting the Holy Ghost have free reign. And we're not connected. And yet we're trying to go out there and minister to somebody else. And the Lord is saying, you're not even connected to get the juice from me. The Holy Spirit is like, I'm here to help you if you will pay attention. If you will invite me in. That's what Jesus said. If you invite me in into every activity, I will fill your life with my presence. You may stand to your feet. Abiding in Christ. There is no other place that we should want to live but in Christ. We say that it is in him that we move and live and have our being, but let's stop saying it and doing it. Let it be real for us. God, I want to abide in you today. So when I'm abiding in you, God, you're fixing all these situations around me. Amen. When we are abiding in Christ, God, you're sending the healing and the restoration and the wholeness that's needed. You're breaking the cycles of bondage. The bondages that's in our mind. When we are abiding in Christ, he chases everything else out that's not bringing him glory. And that should be our joy. God, I want to bring joy to you today. God, I want to present this body as a living sacrifice unto you. But if you know that there's some unholy thing in your life, then you need to get it right. If you know that there's some unholy thing in your life, then you need to get it right. You need to bring it to the altar and give it over to God and say, God, I need to let this thing go. This is what I need pruned out of my life. God, help me to stay in the lane that you called me to be in. You called me to a life of holiness. You said to come out from among them and be holy and be separate. Amen. We're in this world, but we're not of it. So we don't handle our problems as the world handles their problems. Amen. We know that anger does not bring glory to God. There's such a thing as righteous anger because Jesus went into the temple when they knew that they were not taking care of the temple of God as they should, and he overturned those tables. But Jesus walked uprightly. We should be modeling Christ wherever we go. Wherever we go, we should be modeling Christ. Melissa Tony should not be on his job and they're wondering if he's saved or not. Is he really a Christian? Abiding in Christ. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence, oh God. And Father God, we ask forgiveness right now for those times that we did not acknowledge your presence. For those times that we did not invite you in, even though you're already there. Forgive us, Father, from when you were uninvited, oh God. Father God, we ask that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness today. Father God, we just ask, oh God, that your Holy Spirit will continue to do a work in our lives, oh God, that we may come before you with a sweet-smelling sacrifice, Father, in the name of Jesus. That, Lord God, that you will not say to us, depart from you, you work of iniquity, that you don't know us, oh God. Father, we thank you for your word today, Father. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And Father God, we know that there are those that are still desiring their prayer language, oh God. We ask that you send your fire from heaven. Burn up the works of the flesh, Lord. Send fresh anointing, Father. Fresh indwelling of your Holy Spirit, oh God. Father God, we're tired of living day to day. Barely making it, oh God. We want to live in you, Father. We want to live the abundant life, oh God. A life, Lord God, that's blessed by your presence. That fellowships with you, Lord God. Father God, we just ask that you have your way, Father. Do the pruning that's necessary. In the name of Jesus. Do the pruning that's necessary, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you in advance, Lord. We thank you for the seeds that have been planted this day, Father. We will hold on to your word, oh God. We will not let the enemy steal it from us. In the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Brian, if you